Have you ever tried to give a cat medicine?
No, I've left that to other people who are less important than me.
Oh, wise.
Podcasts, the final frontier. These are the audio logs of the podcast Superhero Time. Their 5-month mission? Explore old episodes of Star Trek, alienate even more listeners, and boldly plow your mom where no one has come before.
With XV.
Yeah, Kira in the library with the candlestick. I think you were just getting to that.
Hey, Mickey.
It's a fabulously shiny murder machine, powered by Romulans.
Ken.
This gooey mass of yellow that does not quite do what you want it to.
And Fort Max.
I'm guessing it's Ken. That's where all the weird noises have been coming from today.
This is our podcast.
This is our hell.
This is our podcast. This is our hell.
No, this is our podcast. We watch things to make it go.
Oh, God.
That's the XV's log for this episode of the podcast. Turn your volume down.
Shh.
Jeez.
I love this episode. This is one of those great episodes where, like, the whole episode is kind of like, you know, let's not have like a dangerous plot. Let's just kind of fuck around for an hour and have some fun.
They do fuck around.
This is one of those episodes where it's like, let's remember that these are people, and sometimes they're just jerks. Because, like, a lot of the motivation of this episode is the crew of the Enterprise being assholes.
Picard being an asshole by himself, not even with the crew.
The sitcomiest B plot of all time.
It really is.
Yeah,
but there's parts of it I really like too.
And you also get a bunch of I don't know how much of this had been how much of the stuff that Picard goes on about had been touched on before.
None of it actually.
Yeah, we don't get to see it fully until much later.
Season 7, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, not even... I'm just talking about, like, how much of this had been mentioned. Like, even, like, is this the first time that we know about Picard having a replacement heart, or...?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the first time it was ever brought up.
It's also the first time
they really talk about that, you know, Picard, when he was young, was also an asshole.
I think they remember seeing this episode before, but for some reason I only remember the Picard and Wesley parts. The other part just kind of left my memory at some point.
Well, okay, like, to be completely fair, that is the memorable part of the episode.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, hold up. Before we go any further, we should say what we're talking about.
I assume the, you know, we watch things to make it go kind of gave that away. But yeah, so on this one episode of Star Trek, it's Next Generation Season 2, what, 17?
Yes.
Samaritan Snare, which is the infamous Packlids episode. Not quite as infamous as Planet Africa, I'm sure, but, you know, it gets around.
Yeah. Well, let's put it like this. When I searched for this episode this afternoon, I just ran a Google search on it, and... Towards the end of the first page, Code of Honor did pop up.
It knows what episode you really want to watch. Google's monitoring your habits.
Yeah.
I know that.
They got you flagged as Mugen no Ken likes racist Star Trek episodes.
This is your fault. This is your doing.
Not entirely. Like, they know you're in Georgia, too, so the odds of you being a racist is better than 50-50.
So maybe it's not because of the podcast. Maybe they've already tagged you by location as
right.
Probably racist.
Yeah, they're racially profiling you as a racist based on where you live.
Yeah.
Which, admittedly, is a pretty safe bet in the South.
Yeah.
So let me tell you, like, you know, there's the whole Confederate flag thing, and around here, you almost never would see a Confederate flag being flown. After the ban on the Confederate flag, now I started seeing them.
Tied to the back of cars?
No, out in people's yards.
Ugh, that's even worse.
Oh, sweet merciful Christ. Hey, at least that gives you like a warning sign.
Don't bother talking to these people.
Well, I wouldn't have anyway.
Besides the point.
But what if, you know, you need to borrow a cup of brown sugar?
Why?
I'm trying to segue into a Rolling Stones reference, but I'm not really quite sure how to tie it all together. So.
Oh, okay. There
are places that comic could go I don't really want to touch here.
In the butt?
What?
Nobody really wants to touch Keith Richards or Mick Jagger, so, you know.
Well, my aunt
only
did.
Only with gloves.
Both of them?
Probably.
Is she okay?
Well, not anymore. She died a few years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was she okay then?
Well, it's impressive that Mick and Keith can still do it, though. I mean, it sucks that she died during it, but... Anyway,
so Star Trek.
I'm just going to leave that alone. Going on.
This is the only Star
I don't know
Trek
why
podcast
you even
about Jagger fucking your aunt to death.
What's that for, Max?
Why did you even bother apologizing?
Did he apologize for something?
I don't remember.
Should.
He did. He said...
The last 5 minutes of my life were kind of a blur.
Now, asking if your aunt was okay, and he said, well, not anymore. She's dead.
Well, that was before Mickey continued.
Yeah.
I don't even know why you bothered apologizing. It's this show.
Like I said, like the past 5 minutes of my life just kind of happened, and I don't know entirely what happened.
Yeah, I love
your fuck that up to being awake.
I love your comment on Twitter earlier too, like how we're never going to watch an episode of Next Generation that doesn't make you uncomfortable, and apparently we're never going to have a conversation during one of these episodes that doesn't make you uncomfortable.
Yeah, so Bofford, of course.
Oh, speaking of which, Ken, so I know you're going away next week.
Yes.
But after that, do you have any more planned absences in your future?
Not the moment.
Okay, like, let me know when you do, because I'm going to schedule, like, Darmok for that week.
Darmok?
Well, how could that episode make you uncomfortable? I'm trying to make an episode of Next Generation on the schedule that wouldn't make you uncomfortable, but you not be here for it.
So, in other words, not make a good one.
Something like that.
I don't
that.
Think I have to worry about that, because there's plenty of Next Generation episodes that are awful that'll make him feel uncomfortable. We'll never run out.
No, I don't think we will. That's why I'm trying to, like, specifically pick one that wouldn't and schedule it for a time he won't be here.
Wow.
Well, we kind of set the pattern with doing In the Pale Moonlight next week.
You're an asshole.
I think for the next gen episode we should do is where they go visit Planet Orgy and they try and kill Wesley.
isn't that the episode right after Planet Africa? I feel like we should spread that out a little bit.
Spread season one out?
Yeah.
A lot of things got spread out on that planet.
Yeah.
But is trying to kill Wesley really, you know, to be frowned upon?
Especially, like, you know, early Wesley.
God almighty.
With his horrible sweater.
Yeah.
This Wesley is still too early.
Yeah.
The great thing about the episode is that Wesley doesn't want to get laid because he's smart enough to realize that banging any of these chicks is going to give him syphilis. Which is proof that Wesley is too smart to be a child in the show, because any normal kid would not have considered that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, Packlids?
Packlids, yes.
And other things to make us go.
Fiber will do that.
Fiber is great for doing that. You take enough, you don't even have to wipe. It just shoots out like a rocket.
We've had this discussion.
Yeah, I was.
It's still true.
How much fiber is enough fiber to actually accomplish that?
Probably about 3 ounces with 3 ounces of water.
Uh huh.
Every hour, all day.
Damn, man.
This is sounding less interesting as an option. Can't I just like take it all at once?
Oh, sweet.
intro quote. Because if nobody else is going to call it, I am.
You do not want to take anything that is going to make you empty your bowels all at once.
Why not?
Trust me on this.
But we can't trust you on this. You're in a special situation.
But think of all the time I would save.
Yeah. I'm being in agony for the next day.
Were you making that noise into like a rotary fan or something?
Sure.
Yeah, you know that's the bad thing about those like ring fans with no blades? If you talk into it, nothing happens.
Also, what happens if you pee into one, though?
We should get one and find out.
Because I really hope your urine stream just sort of curves into a spiral and shoots out the center.
Oh, that would be the best thing.
We have the best peeing stories on this podcast. Way better than we ever had in Superhero Time.
Just think of the stories we would get if we had JD with us still.
Oh, God.
JD would love this podcast. I think.
Yeah.
JD would give it more of a chance than Paladin did at any rate.
As in none?
No, JD would give it a chance.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I said!
Anyway, Mickey, make us go. Without the fiber.
Okay, then. Alright, so the episode opens up here on the bridge.
Oh, wait, I just had the best... I just want to finish out what we were talking about before. So, if you pee in one of those ring fans, it would make a spiral and show at the middle. Diarrhea in one of those ring fans.
Yes.
That is the shit hitting the fan.
No, it wouldn't hit the fan at all. There's no fan to hit.
That's the beauty of it.
The metaphorical fan.
No, it's a real fan. It's just not hitting it. Mickey?
So all right. Metaphorically hitting the fan.
The PowerPoint presentation, for the love of God, get to the fucking summary.
This is the best first 10 minutes of a podcast we've done in a while.
This is the worst first 10 minutes of a podcast we've done in forever.
Exactly!
This is a podcast we've done.
Not yet. Move on.
Okay. So Wesley skips onto the bridge all excited because he gets to go take some tests. Well, that's exciting for Wesley.
Nerd!
And Data helpfully chimes in with, I didn't think the tests were very hard. And Wesley's like, fuck you, robot. Go to hell.
He's been hanging around Pulaski too much.
I think I had the same reaction, though.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Pulaski, because let's cut on down to Sick Bay. Where Pulaski and Picard are having an argument. She keeps going on to him like, look, you've waited too long. You need to get this taken care of. And he's like, no! The line must be drawn here.
No further.
And she's like, look, if you don't get a shot of penicillin, your syphilis is going to kill you. Well, you're not doing it. Well, you're going to Starbase. I'm ordering you.
Picard is such a bitch in this episode. Like, just really, really.
Yeah, Picard's whole argument about having, he doesn't want to have this surgery, is because what would the neighbors say?
He doesn't want to look weak in front of the men and women.
So apparently he's not commander of the Enterprise. He's commander of the Pentafor. Because that is some old school naval nonsense.
I guess
that really that Picard was... is more evolved than.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why he just seems don't know. He seems a little off in this episode. He has a couple of good moments, but...
You know, you could just say his heart's not in it.
Oh!
Oh!
Thanks, Paladin. We missed you.
Tim Curry.
So, Picard angrily sulks back up to the bridge and says, "Hey, Wesley, you're going to this base, right? I'm riding with you. Shotgun." To which, you know, there's an auto record scratch on the bridge where everyone just looks at him and, "Boo?" As Picard storms off to his room, and Riker follows going, "Hey, what up?
Where are you going? Can I come with?
Can I go have the surgery instead of you?"
Are there any women?
Picard's response is predictably, "Mind your goddamn business, get on the bridge, you're in charge."
See, so then I think we cut to Geordi and Ensign Hairso 80s.
it's pronounced Hairso 80s.
Yes, the character they tried to make happen and then forgot.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of assumed she was banging somebody on the crew, and then they broke up with her. And that was that. Yeah, so Wes is concerned because he's going to be trapped in an elevator with Picard for 6 hours.
By elevator, you mean ship, but...
Yes,
ship,
a shuttle
elevator, craft. It's all the same thing.
Yes. About the same size.
He knows he's going to be stuck in a bottle episode with Picard for 6 hours. And he doesn't know what to talk about. And thankfully, Ensign Mary Sue is like, "Oh, there's all kinds of great things we can talk to Picard about. Philosophy? Tea? Lionfish?"
God.
Baldness? That time he killed your dad. And Wesley doesn't seem comforted by any of these topics.
No.
So let's see. Down in the shuttle bay, we get a rare look at what the warp nacelles look like powered off, with their weird white and black parts, and they're off on a grand adventure in space. Picard helpfully has brought several books to read, so he doesn't have to talk to Wesley at all for the whole trip.
That's the intent, but...
But Wesley can't really take a social cue.
All right, and fast-forwarding through the opening... okay. Let's head back to the bridge now, where the episode's A plot is starting up.
Okay, here's the thing. Like,
it's more of an A-minus plot.
I was going to say, like, it's hard to call either of these an A plot. It's more like the show has two B plots.
Basically, yeah.
It's like they had pieces of two different scripts. And they made one episode out of the A plot of both of those. They put them together so you can't tell the difference. And then they had these leftovers.
And the plot that is definitely the one that could be done on a lower budget is the one that actually matters in past this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's why I call this part the A plot, because it's what the episode title is based on.
True.
Well, yeah, but they had to call it something.
Instead of, you know, driving Miss Johnny.
Or Picard dies.
No, that's
in
the
lava.
That's the Toei dub title, Fort Max.
Captain Picard dies in lava.
Alright, so on the bridge, Data's picked up a distress signal from a wedge of cheese out in space.
It's not inaccurate.
And so they hail this ship and find some aliens with the saddest looking eyebrows ever. The Packlets.
Yes.
So, as Riker's asking them what's going on, and they can respond with, "Our ship is broken. We need to make it go.
And
we need
suddenly,
your help."
Suddenly Riker knows what it is to be tech support. Because let's be honest here, Packwoods are basically everybody who's ever asked you for help with their computer.
They can, yeah.
Yeah, about the time Geordi wanders in, while Riker is quickly losing his patience.
And the most insensitive phrase ever.
Oh, God. Well,
so what, did their rubber band break?
Oh. Man.
I really love this. As we see, humans in the 24th century really do not like stupid people. Because everyone around them has become smart.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know how to handle...
not smart.
Even though
I wasn't going to put it that way.
They wouldn't have been much better 400 years ago.
Basically, humans are the elitist assholes that they kind of get called out on by other species.
Kind of are.
And this is the only time we get to see that, you know, like, oh, maybe the Romulans aren't wrong.
I don't know. You can kind of see that a bit in DS9, but...
well, DS9 hadn't happened yet.
True. I guess it would be the first time then.
Geordi decides, okay, well, I'll go over there and I'll help them out. It'll just take me a second because I'm sure, you know,
probably
it can't be that bad.
They just need to reboot the computer or make sure the mouse is plugged in.
I'll just turn the batteries around so the positive, negative, and face the correct
way. Have you tried rebooting your modem?
So as
oh, you know what happened? They unplugged the power cord while they were vacuuming the command center.
God damn it, Alpha.
People could have died.
Okay, so Geordi trots off to the transporter room. Worf is like, whoa, hold up now. Do we really want to send our chief engineer? Shouldn't we send one of the disposable ones over there in case they murder him?
You know, they could have at least sent Geordi with, I don't know, a security guy.
Well, okay, look.
How
like,
would that have helped?
Well, look, there's like five Packwoods on that ship. All they need to do is send the whole engineering team over there, and you're kind of set.
Yeah.
Geordi just wants to go be a show-off and, you know.
Riker's like, nah, it'll be fine. They're stupid. What could they possibly ever do to us? We're the Enterprise. Worf's like, well, hold up. Security, warning.
This is my job.
Don't make me say I told you so 15 minutes from now. Riker's like, sit down, Worf. I'm in command here.
It's like it's not like that's, you know, Worf's job or anything.
Man, that'd be such an asshole comment from Riker, too, telling Worf to sit down when Worf's the only person on the bridge without a chair.
Oh, man. She said that now.
So this is one of the classic moments when Worf says the correct thing to do and everyone ignores them and they get screwed by it.
Like, has anyone done a tally of how many times that happens?
Probably.
Basically, whenever Worf offers his opinion when it hasn't been asked for,
I want to
say
there's
really
actually,
what everyone should be doing.
I want to say there's actually like a super cut out there of just shots of Worf getting shut down.
Wow, I guess humans really do suck.
You be quiet back there, forehead.
That's no forehead. That's like a six head.
Noses handle this problem.
What you're saying in the future of enlightenment and, you know, no war and world peace and everything, humans have become racist to other species.
Basically, yes.
Okay. Pretty much everything you expect would happen in this situation, yes.
Sadly, that does make sense. Mm-hmm. Now I'm depressed. Star Trek was supposed to be hopeful, damn it!
It is. This is just not the episode for it.
Clearly!
Look, Star Trek is very hopeful if you're a human.
Fudge.
That's all it ever meant to be, is hopeful. Hope for humanity.
Yeah.
Screw
not other species. Yeah.
Hope
screw
for
them.
Humanity because we found a whole bunch of other people to exploit and screw over.
And people say that Star Trek's bright future is a fantasy.
That somebody else to hate besides each other.
All right, so let's check in on the Captain and Wesley, since I bet you that trip was going great. They're probably listening to some sweet tunes. I bet you Picard brought a mixtape.
Oh, God, it's so unbearably awkward.
So while Picard is busy reading what I assume is the Encyclopedia Britannica.
He's been more intended than this shit.
Wesley is peppering him with questions like, what's your favorite color? Do you like candy?
I like candy.
What's your favorite color?
Which Picard?
Earl Grey. Hot.
And every time Wesley opens his mouth, you can see Picard hold back a sigh and mentally take note of where he was on the page as he closes his book.
How do you feel about Moby Dick?
Wondering why he ever decided to go on a shuttle with Wesley in the first place.
Well, I guess this is before the Borg, so he has no whale yet.
So finally, Picard just mutters something out loud along the lines of, this is bullshit. Wesley's like, excuse me?
So that's the intention. And there's this awkward moment where it's like, damn, Picard.
Then Picard's like, shit, what do I say? What do I say? What do I say? What do I say? No, I mean, this is bullshit to my situation because he can't think of a lie, so he has to tell the truth.
It's like, it's not about traveling with you or anything. It's
not because I can't stand you. It's the, I've got to have my heart replaced. Damn it, why did I tell him that?
I think there's a couple episodes really where Picard is like that. He's like, God, I'm just stuck with Wesley.
And like in any other context, you know, just like the excuse, I have to get my heart replaced would be the best lie ever.
But it's the actual truth.
Yeah.
And then Wesley turns into Dennis the Menace. You gotta have your heart replaced, Mr. Golly. Why?
Oh, so the tame Dennis the Menace rather than the Australian one.
I don't get that reference. No matter.
Or not Australian, rather than the...
It's not going to provide any context to it, just, yeah. You know.
There's a Brit... Dennis the Menace from the Beano, which is... Well, he's actually menacing.
Okay.
Like... He's stone people menacing.
Okay, well, that's creepy, but let's move away from that creepiness as quickly as possible. So Wesley, like, so why do you have your heart placed? Because my replacement heart is bad. Why'd they put a bad one inside you? God damn it, Wesley!
Shut up
and
drive.
That is the dumbest question I have ever heard.
Shut up and drive.
This is why
nobody... Well, Wesley, it's because I wanted to put a faulty heart inside me. I asked for that specifically.
This is why nobody likes you, Wesley.
I mean, that's...
Well, there's also the other thing, too. Wesley's like, so what, they put in you a parthenogenic implant? What the fuck else would it be? Picard's just so demeaning in his response. It's really entertaining for what's just like a little bit of exposition. There's only one kind of replacement heart, and he has it. But it, you know, in the process of it, you know, just be an asshole to Wesley some more. Sure, it'll be fine.
Well, it's not really that it's one type of implant. It's that what he was pretty much asking was, oh, so you have, they gave you a heart implant.
Yes.
So, as the conversation ends, Picard looks out in the rearview mirror and he sees the Enterprise about 30 feet behind them and thinks, it's going to be a long trip.
This shit just started.
I wish there was a more, like, solid idea of how much time passes in this episode. Like, just how long were they trapped in that shuttle together?
6 hours. I said 6 hours trip.
Did they?
Yeah.
Watched an episode like 3 times in the last week and never caught that.
God, you watched it three times?
I actually like this episode.
So do I. All right, so Geordi is beamed down to the
Packet Sword brown, spaceship. The brownest wedge. Ship ever.
The cheese wedge.
Yes. Cheese wedge.
The short ship.
Ooh.
I wasn't going to go there.
Well, I will go there. And so he makes introductions and makes friends with everybody. Meets Reginod, which is a name I guess they liked enough to use it again for Reginald. And so Geordi goes to work fixing things while the Packlets share sinister glances at each other. And yep. Dramatic music plays.
Those are sinister glances?
Well,
it's kind of hard to tell under the makeup.
Yeah.
They can't really...
Well, anyway, this episode would have been a lot less, questionable with the Packlets if it was just that, okay, don't make them seem stereotypically slow, just make them utterly clueless about how their ships work. Like, just don't know.
Like, there's a way to do it. I don't
like have them just not know what the technical terms are. Just have them go, well, it's not like if they just say that, well, it's not working. I don't
know. I bet at one stage of the development of this episode, it was more like that.
Like your grandma trying, like have it be more like grandma trying to program a VCR.
That's valid for a real thing. However, that doesn't really work for this episode because this episode is about how the Enterprise got tricked by the preconceptions of her less intelligent species not being a threat.
I mean, I
think. Well,
I think with Fort Max's, I think with Fort Max's angle here, that would still be credible. It just would not be. It wouldn't be comedic, and that's what they wanted out of it. They wanted the comedy of the Packlets being stupid as the setup for the audience too.
If they were just people who didn't understand how to use their technology, you know. That just wouldn't be nearly as interesting to watch either. They'd just be like, "Oh,
right." And that's kind of what I'm saying. Like,
fix it. I mean, they lose any kind of interest to what the story's going on. It's just people shrugging their shoulders.
I really think, you know, like as the story was being set up in pre-production, you know, it started out as okay. So they meet people who appear to not know how to work their ship, and Geordi goes and helps them and gets captured by them. And it went through its permutations, and okay, let's make them just really stupid so the audience gets interested.
I guess.
I mean, that's the way I see it going now.
But then I don't even understand how they made it this far. Like, it's later in the episode, but they stole technology. I don't understand how they managed to,
yet somehow they still managed to set it up to act like it broke.
Yeah, so it doesn't really...
Well, they kind of allude to that they're not as stupid as that they're acting. That they're dumb.
Yeah,
but
even
they're completely stupid.
I can't really tell. That's the problem.
Even their linguistic skills get better later in the episode too.
Yeah. And but see, I think it's interesting to basically all alien species in Star Trek are the same level of development intellectually. It's interesting to see a species that's out there in space that isn't as strong mentally as, you know, the humans or the Ferengi or the Klingons or whatever. It's the people that are just don't have the facilities to be on this level. But because of luck and chance, they've got some of the technology to be out here.
Basically,
I mean, it makes sense that if there's Qs above us, there's got to be somebody below us.
Basically, the Packlets are an example of what the Prime Directive is for.
Yes.
Like the Prime Directive matters.
No,
shut up, Ken.
No, it only matters if breaking it could get you home faster.
Yeah.
Oh, Janeway.
There's a lot of different ways to look at the Packlets, and they're all pretty much valid from whether you dislike them or like them, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Perspective.
But there's also another perspective on Packlets, and that's coming from Counselor Troy.
Oh, God.
As she storms in the bridge saying, "What the hell is going on?" And Riker's like, "Oh, we found these idiots out in space. We sent Geordi over to them. It's fine. They're helpless. They're dumb." And Troy's like, "They're not helpless. They're about to kill him."
So then we cut to a commercial. Doing,
and you should be afraid.
Then we cut to a commercial. And when we come back, it's like, "He's in danger. Danger. Do you listen to me? He's in danger.
Danger, Will Riker. Danger."
I have to imagine that in the space of the commercial break, like 15 minutes past showtime, and she's just sitting there the whole time.
She was trying to convince Riker throughout the entire commercial break.
Yeah.
His beard has grown a little bit in time.
The camera cuts up to Worf, who's just like gripping like his fingers into the wood and gnarling his teeth, trying so hard not to say, "I goddamn told you so."
Does Worf ever get to say that?
It would be without honor.
Oh, shit. Damn it! That makes sense.
And then Data has the best worst line of the episode. "Our Betazoid counselor is often aware of things beyond our perception."
Oh my god.
Thank you, season one, Data.
Season two!
That's the joke, Ken. Good job.
I know, but...
Yeah, he's still kind of the exposition robot here.
So back on the shuttlecraft, Wesley continues
to invade. Sandwiches! I want a sandwich.
No, not yet. Wesley still invaded Picard's personal space. Why is this done on the ship? It's personal.
Yes,
he doesn't
and
want
then, why?
Pulaski to see his doodle.
Yeah, so Wesley's invading Picard's personal space more, and it gets so bad that Picard gets up and goes and sits in the back seat so he can read in peace. And so then Wesley just spins around in his chair and keeps questioning him.
But back in the Enterprise, Riker gives in and says, "You know, maybe we'll just check with Geordi to see if he's okay." And Geordi's like, "Yeah, I'm fine. These people are dopes. They don't know what the hell they're doing. I'm perfectly safe. Good thing I brought a phaser with me."
Oh, God. Geordi, you're smarter than this.
So as Geordi completes his repairs, something else breaks just in the nick of time. "Well, that's one more thing to fix. It'll be fine. I'll be down here before you can blink." Let's see. Wesley pesters Picard about one of his favorite subjects. "Why aren't you married? Why don't you have any kids? You be a good dad. I miss my dad. Will you be my dad?" So, back on the Packlet ship, Geordi completes his repairs and the lights come on and he jumps for joy and then gets his phaser stolen and shot in the gut.
I like how later they end up asking, "How many times has he been shot?"
Well, we'll get to that.
Okay. How many times has he been hit?
I mean, really, the crew should have known something bad would happen to Geordi because something bad always happens to Geordi.
Well, it's still early. In the series.
I guess it hasn't become a trope yet.
I think this might be the start of the trope, actually.
Wait, so as soon as they phaser him in the intestines, they throw up their shields, which surprised they have shields.
I think him being thrown into the wall would have hurt more. More potentially damaging.
I don't know. He's on the Enterprise. They get thrown into walls all the time.
True.
Yeah, but Enterprise walls are very soft and padded. I mean, these are Packlet walls.
No, the Enterprise walls are just metal plates.
But they're cushioned metal plates.
Cushioned metal?
Yeah, it's made of cushioned aluminum.
Cushioned aluminum.
So now Riker's at impasse, because Geordi's on the ship with shields, and if he shoots at it, they will just kill him.
No. Riker's at an impasse because Geordi is on a ship with shields, and Troy and Worf are just giving him death glares.
He can't just And he can't just ram the Enterprise into it.
You know, to be honest, it's not like he tried.
I think he already knew that he can't, because anything he does to attack the ship just means they're going to turn around and shoot Geordi in the face and kill him. So, you think even Riker is smart to realize that I can't violence my way through the situation.
I think he could, because like, if they could just knock out the shields with one photon torpedo like they were talking about, you do that, you beam Geordi out, and you know, you have Pulaski like turn him into a robot or something to bring him back to life.
Just what? I don't know. If you're quick enough on the draw with the transporter, you might be able to get him before they kill him.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Uh-huh.
Possibly.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
So you know, they already have a replacement engineer lined up, that chick with the hair.
Right.
She's totally going to be there for a while.
I mean, there was like half a dozen engineers in the first season anyway. It's not like the ship doesn't have a high turnover. Nobody in the bookkeeping department would really notice.
Maybe the reason why he didn't want to get rid of Geordi is because the ship was in trouble for having such a high turnover of engineers. Starfleet's saying, don't you lose another one. All right, so with Riker cock blocked, let's check back up on the other stressful situation in space of Picard and Wesley having lunch together.
Yeah, so this is the point where Picard has taken out his aluminum lunchbox, gotten his thermos of coffee, and produced his sandwiches.
So he offers Wesley some coffee, which Wesley says, no, I'm not allowed to drink coffee. It'll keep me up all night. And then Picard's like, okay, well, do you want a sandwich? Oh, yes, please, sir.
I don't know why Picard would even think to ask Wesley for coffee, because remember who he trapped in a small room with.
Yep,
oh, really. God. Imagine a hyper Wesley.
But it shows that Picard did put some thought into things, though, because he hands Wesley a sandwich with the crust cut off already. So he knows what children like. To a degree. However, I'm pretty convinced his sandwich is made of cucumbers and like just ground up Earl Grey tea.
Well, sure, he's civilized.
But no, yeah, wait.
That looks like cucumber sandwich. I mean, Picard would totally have a cucumber sandwich.
Yeah.
Don't those usually not have the crusts anyway?
Yeah. There can't be ground up Earl Grey on those sandwiches, though, because they're not hot.
How do you know?
Hot cucumber sandwich? I mean, what kind of insanity is this?
That sounds pretty British, actually.
It does, doesn't it?
Ah, but he's French.
Sure he is.
Sure. Sure he is. Wink.
So while they're doing their lunch, Wesley asks, so, you ever regret not getting laid? Picard basically responds to him, queen and country, James. Propriety, career, honor.
Totally not British.
The actual conversation they have really could have had, like, two different directions to it, because, like, Wesley asked him if he doesn't regret not getting married, and Picard said something about, you know, if you choose the Starfleet life, there's certain sacrifices that come with it, and then warns Wesley he needs to be careful of long-term commitments. Now, that could easily be taken as, you know, if you're committing to this life, just understand what you're getting into, but no, dialogue just takes it in the direction of, if you're doing this, don't plan on having any women around. And then, you know, we get another awkward Wesley statement.
Yeah, it sounds like that's originally what Picard was implying was, are you sure you're doing the right thing? Because you're committed to it. Right. And Wesley completely misses the point.
Yeah.
It's like, well, just eat your sandwich, kid.
So the Wesley asked, like, the one intelligent question he asked them is, how did you get to be so disciplined, basically? Which is a nice leading question. It doesn't make him sound like a retard in this episode. That's impressive.
Sigh.
And so then we get Picard launching into his best part of the episode of
story time.
Yeah, story time with Picard. Where Picard gets to bust out his monologuing skills. And he tells a story about how he used to have hair and get in bar fights.
I don't believe that.
This is a story. It's not fact. Completely.
It's very much a story. Has Patrick Stewart ever had hair?
I think he did until he was like 19 or something.
Yes, Patrick.
And it started falling out.
Ken, when did your hair start falling out?
Mid-20s.
So, I mean, you could be a Patrick Stewart later in life.
You'll have to work your British accent and not say fang so much.
I'm sure there's some, like, you know, variation of an English accent where thang is appropriate.
Like Southern England?
Southern England. Oh, my
Maybe.
God.
Maybe. Maybe that'd be like a Welsh accent.
Oh.
Anyway, so Picard is telling Wesley the story about how he went to Mos Eisley one time and he fought off like 40 Noskans and like killed them all except for one who snuck up behind him and like stabbed him through the chest with like a claymore or something. And he replied, it was tickled and gave me an erection.
He lost his hair at the age of 18.
Are there any photos of him at 17?
I don't know.
So anyway, while Picard's telling his great story of his misspent childhood, Wesley's just sitting there giving the worst reaction faces the whole way through. Because apparently at that point, Will Wheaton only had two expressions, blank and bug eye.
That's pretty accurate, actually.
Uh-huh.
A Toku actor he is not.
Well, no, I mean, he could, like, Will Wheaton totally could have been the Gosei Red at that point.
I don't...
He's got a long neck.
Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't have nearly a long enough neck.
Well, they can, you know, adjust for that with
I don't know. look, before they showed him just now, it looked like he had like a full head's worth of neck between his shoulders and his chin. Anyway, my ridiculous description aside, Picard's story actually is pretty good. It gives some nice character depth to him where he hasn't always been stuffy.
Mm-hmm.
He learned to be stuffy. Let's see, back with the Packlids. They still have Geordi's phaser, and they want him to replicate them a whole bunch of ones. To which Geordi says, no, and then they say, well, we'll just kill you then. And Geordi says, okay, I'll do it.
I cannot find anything of him with hair. Not legitimately. Huh.
Now, of course, to replicate the phaser... he would need the phaser.
Well,
so he would have had the phaser.
Well, you know, I mean, the Packwoods could have just put the phaser in the replicator while Geordi pushed the buttons.
Make it go?
Yeah. Although, I would like to think that the Packwood never wanted to let go of the phaser, so he had his hand in the replicator at the same time. So every phaser they made had, like, this...
a hand on it.
Yeah. So, like, somewhere on that shift, there's just a pile of disembodied Packwood hands. Made of phaser.
So, back on the shuttlecraft, Wesley's enjoying having become closer with the captain a little bit and gaining some respect in his eyes. And then he goes and throws it all away. When the captain asks, did you read that book I gave you? And Wesley's like, nope. I've been busy studying things that are important, like math.
I love Picard's speech here, though. I mean, you know, it starts out as a kind of tropey thing of, well, the important things will never be on your tests. But then he actually starts talking about, you know, the study of philosophy, making ourselves better, learn that, and then everything you do in your life, maybe then it will actually mean something. Which, admittedly, in the actual dialogue comes off a lot less douchey and condescending than I make it sound, but, you know.
Yeah, yes, but
practically, no, Wesley probably should be studying for his exams to get into Starfleet.
Well, no, and see, in Picard's mind, he should be doing both at the same time. He should be using his time more effectively.
If only he didn't have to sleep. Maybe I'll get Pulaski to give him some pills for that.
Caffeine pills.
Or he could spend less. Or he could just spend less time badgering the bridge crew.
Hey, Wesley, get off the damn bridge. Go study. Everything.
Well, the whole reason why he's on the bridge is because Crusher was tired of having him in sickbay. Get out of sickbay. You're in my hair.
And of course, with Pulaski down there, it's not like you can go hang out down there anyway.
Yeah. Why is he still on the ship?
Because his mother doesn't like him very much.
Well, yes, but who does?
So, like, she started looking for a job that would get her off the ship. And she found one, and she left. And she didn't take Wesley.
Right before she left, she said, Picard, look, you killed his dad. You're watching him for a while. I'm out of here.
Guilt trip him, that way he can't argue back.
Alright, so...
Picard needs to stop killing people's families.
Oh, he's really good at it, though.
He is, isn't he?
It's back on the bridge. They have a pretty pointless discussion about the Packlet, saying, why do they have shields? Well, I guess they stole them or something. I don't know.
And there seems to be a lot of, like, time filler in this supposed A-plot.
Like, there wasn't enough plot to make up a full episode?
Yeah, like, this B-plot wasn't enough to actually sustain the whole story.
So, Wesley and Picard finally made it to the planet, and Wesley is still following Picard like he's on a leash.
God.
Picard's like, okay, thanks.
You can go
bye.
Home.
Wesley. Wesley, bye. Bye.
And Wesley's like, I'm sorry, Captain, but Pulaski said I had to make sure you put on your gown for your operation.
Watch you intensely.
Which Picard applies, God damn that bitch. She told you. You've been lying to my face the whole time.
Paraphrasing, but the implication is there.
Which,
No. What happened is Pulaski told him just enough that he would get curious about what the heck's going on and bug Picard the whole way there.
That's probably right, too, because, like, you know, Pulaski's just like, make sure that he goes and checks in over here, but without telling him any of the details of it. Because, ultimately, I think Pulaski is respecting Picard's privacy.
Right. But, of course, this is
Wesley.
I guess
I could say that. Of, make sure when Picard gets there, he goes to where he's supposed to be going. Follow him until he goes inside the building.
Yeah.
And by that point, when they arrived on the planet, Wesley already figured out where he was going and what for, so...
Right.
Because she knew he would bug him incessantly until he did.
I suppose that's less of a violation of HIPAA laws in space than I thought.
Space HIPAA.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Pulaski could be accused of doing anything wrong. She would probably suspect that Wesley would start questioning it just because Wesley's Wesley. But, I mean...
She's not the one doing it.
Well, and...
Her hand is free.
And either way, there's nothing, like, ethically or legally wrong with saying, go make sure that he goes here.
Because Picard's kind of a little bitch.
So Picard relents and says, okay, thank you, Wesley. And Wesley responds with, I like you, Captain. I like you too, Wesley. Goodbye. And Wesley grins himself off screen.
He does too. Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, back in space,
the Packlets are hailing the bridge to talk to Riker, breaking radio silence. Riker is putting on his tough guy act.
Yeah, Riker is really good. He's really good at the negotiations in this episode. I have to point that out.
Great negotiator.
So, give us our crewman back. No. Give us our crewman back. Fuck you, Zap.
it's just like a comedic. It points to, you know, LeVar Burton for, you know, just flying back like that.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of love seeing someone with the hostage situation just not even holding back. Of like, oh, yeah, we'll totally shoot him right now. Zap, 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 zap.
God.
And so the Packlets have a simple demand.
It can't be healthy.
The Packlets have a simple demand.
The Packlets, like, really, they don't give a shit about Geordi. They're not pretending to give a shit about him.
Right.
They're not really that stupid. They're just really fucking cruel.
Yep.
So the Packlets demand, like, all the information on the internet.
And then
we cut to commercial. And this is important, because when we come back, everybody's sitting in the conference room.
Yes.
Like, the Packlets had Geordi at, like, the point of 15 phasers, demanding the computer information, or they'll kill him.
Now.
So when we come back to it, they're sitting in the conference room.
Stellar editing.
Well, I imagine Riker told them, well, we'll think about it, give us a few minutes.
That's not
I don't know if he's that important.
Well, and then the thing is, like, when they're in the conference room, they've got Pulaski in there finally, and she's like, well, what kind of condition is he in? He sustained multiple phaser stuns, and I just imagine in the space of the commercial break, they shot him several more times.
Every time
before,
he started to get up,
Riker's
they
like,
have, they
okay,
have someone stationed on the bridge keeping count of how many times that he's been shot while they're in the meeting.
He's at the 52.
And then Pulaski also has this,
comments.
Yeah, Pulaski has a brilliant observation. He may need medical attention.
It's just a stun, right?
Well, consider who she's working with here.
With the mood Riker's in today, I guess she doesn't have to boil it down to the simplest possible terms.
Alright, so, time for Picard's thrilling operation.
Yay.
And by thrilling, I mean this is the most tedious operation I've ever seen. It is filled with so much technobabble
and their
false drama.
Yeah.
And those, Doctor uniforms are completely ridiculous.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, see, you know, at least that way, if they get blood on them, they don't.
I've had that thought before, too. Yeah, when they stab themselves with the laser scalpel, nobody can tell. It keeps their malpractice insurance down.
Mm-hmm. Laundry, too.
They have a new form of bleach in the 24th century that turns everything red.
So that's what happened to the dark matter? They got that bleach on it?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, so back in the conference room, as Picard begins his totally not life-threatening procedure that won't have any dramatic twist or turns,
I mean,
in it.
It's so terrible, too, because, like, the head surgeon guy says, well, I'll be home in time for dinner.
You're what, like, could possibly go wrong?
Not like we could kill him on the table or anything. Yeah. And this with my eyes closed.
All right, so back at the conference table. They realize, well, we can't do anything physical to stop them because they'll kill Geordi. We'll have to do something else.
Hey, Phaser Watch, what are we up to? 64?
65.
We'll have to use something other than weaponry to stop them. What could we use? I know. We'll use our brains. We'll trick them.
Well, you know, they haven't been using their brains at all for the most of this episode, so they should be, like, fresh and ready to go.
Like, yeah, sure.
This... Are we sure this isn't a Drive episode?
God. Riker's in top gear now.
So, Riker suggests we use a clever ruse, a trick, a charade, a ploy.
Clever! Yeah.
To which Troy responds, "You're going to fly? Why would you lie to them?" I guess Troy has moral reservations against lying to the enfeebled.
But they're the easiest ones to lie to.
Which is helpful because no one on this bridge can lie with any kind of convincing. How the hell do they play poker? I do not know. So on the Packlet ship, Jordy...
Well, I assume they're just as bad as reading.
On the Packlet ship, Jordy limps on scene, clutching his tummy. Because he has a tummy ache.
Because he's been shot at it 70 times.
Like, probably somewhere in the 40s, he probably turned around and got caught and hit up against a chair or something.
He tries to stand down like Riker does, and he doesn't have the legs for it.
Or the depth perception.
You know, I think if that was the case, though, he'd be clutching somewhere lower than his stomach.
Yeah.
So, the Packlets hail the Enterprise again and say, "Give us the Wikipedia." And Riker says, "No!"
Jordy looks so worried in this scene. Like, it's the first time he seems genuinely concerned for his life.
Yeah, you would think after the first time they shot him, he would be. But no, it took, like, a dozen more.
70.
So Riker eventually decides, "You know what? I'm sorry to see you go, Jordy."
Wait, what? But...
Too bad. "I'm not wasting the bandwidth to save your life."
This is just like this genuine moment of panic.
But then Riker continues going on about, "We know how much you love weapons, and how you can get weapon systems online, even photon torpedoes that you'll later disable at my signal."
Because he says it in that tone, they totally don't get it.
And Jordy's like, oh, yeah.
I'm good with weapons.
I'm reading between your lines.
out loud. They totally can't, you know.
And the Packlets are just happy because Jordy's going to make their ship go.
Boom. Go boom.
All right, so back on Planet Doctor,
the operation's not going well.
Picard's midichlorians are out of whack or something, and they need a doctor. Like a special doctor or something.
A biomolecular physiologist, which I can't even, like, parse what would that even be.
Well, they're a physiologist that specializes in biomolecular mechanics, yes, with tachyons
and stuff. Look, don't try to dissect Star Trek.
Yeah, I know.
We'll be here.
This
don't
is try Voyager to dissect techno, the level techno babble going on.
It really is. Well, no, there's none of photons in it for that, or nanoprobes.
Well, Jordy takes his lunchbox and uses it to turn some steel dryer vents into photon torpedoes, which
okay.
If he can do that, I can see why the Enterprise would want to hang on to him.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not even sure what he or how he.
Because that's just witchcraft.
I think those cylinders were themselves supposed to be the ship's torpedoes.
Geordi some page.
He just gave them some. He just
he put antimatter in them. Yeah, he put antimatter into the torpedoes they already had, and that apparently did the job.
Go on.
In the basement, or maybe the gun. I'm not sure which.
Both. Okay. Both.
I guess in this case it would be in the gun since it's, you know.
Oh my Christ.
Anyway, back on the Enterprise, let's go to the engineering sip because we've only been in the bridge for the whole season, or the whole episode, rather.
It felt like it took the whole season.
It's a bottle
anyway,
season.
So, for reasons unbeknownst to anyone, Riker's explaining his whole plan to engineer hair.
Because she's the only other person in the episode with a speaking part.
I'm really not even clear as to why she's even included in this at all. Because
speaking
ringing up,
part.
Ringing up the Bessard collectors, whatever they're called. Mm-hmm. Is that it? Yes. To fart over the ship. Data could have done that from his station.
Speaking part.
Yes, well.
They paid her for X number of lines, and this is how many they had left.
Anyway, so right before the cutting plan goes into action, the hospital planet phones home and says, "Hey, Picard's dying. We need you to come here."
Now.
Riker's like, "Hold up, I'm busy. I've got to save this lieutenant before I go save the captain.
Got some shit to do." Captain's not on the ship. I mean, technically, neither is the lieutenant.
Like, I am not going to be defeated by space retards.
Right. It's not even Geordi he cares about.
It's that whole... he's trying to keep Picard from finding out that he screwed up by not listening.
He lost Geordi.
That okay.
It took 5 minutes of Picard not being on the ship.
And figures out, if I leave now, we don't have Geordi. Picard could live. He's going to be pissed. If I wait,
we'll get Geordi back.
We can hopefully get Geordi back, but even if not, Picard might. I'm not going to have to face Picard when we get there.
It's like, if I get Geordi back and Picard dies, we're still cool. But if I don't get Geordi back and Picard dies...
Nah, whatever. But if I don't get Geordi back and Picard doesn't die...
I'm screwed.
Yeah, I bet your Riker is thinking to himself, this is exactly how Khan felt when Kirk faced him the second time. How did this lesser intellect defeat me?
Can we be sure the Paquas are a lesser intellect than Riker?
I don't.
Well, in Riker's head, they are.
In Riker's head, he's Khan. Riker's a swell guy.
You make ship go.
Into other ships.
So, Riker gives Geordi a weirdly specific 24-second countdown to disarm the photon torpedoes he just built for them.
Well, they set that up earlier by Worf.
Well, they still never explained why 24 seconds.
And also, why did Geordi even make working photon torpedoes in the first place? Why didn't he create something that looked like it would work but would not? They would not know the difference.
Well, no, they said they could tell, so they can.
Oh, well, sure. Anyway, so, at the proper time, the Enterprise pulls the lever and farts all over the packet ship.
Oh, God.
And apparently that's enough to convince the Paklos that it
disabled their physical weaponry.
Oh, God.
Forever.
Which one is going to say, okay, you're going to have 40 back.
Oh, God.
And this seems like one of those things where they realize, you know, we've kind of written ourselves into a corner here. What do we do?
Yep.
Look, just resolve it. Don't worry about the details.
But no, we're going to have a good episode. Just give me more minutes. Nope. Out of time. Let's film right now. We had all last night to write this episode.
Oh, sweet Christ. Okay, yeah, you're Cyloning really hard.
Wasn't there a writer's strike earlier in the year before this episode aired?
What?
A writer's strike?
Probably.
Maybe this episode came about the same way Revenge of the Fallen did.
From Satan's anus?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Locked in a hotel room for a weekend. As Michael Bay shoved lobsters under their door. Or whatever the story is.
Lobster sandwiches?
No, but like, a lot of season 2 was recycled spec scripts from Star Trek Phase 2 because of the writer's strike, and I kind of tend to suspect the stuff later on that wasn't is stuff that they just kind of had non-union writers knock out in the meantime. Also,
yeah, that explains the whole episode of the casino a lot.
And so they took this plot from that one of the scripts and added the intact on the Picard plot.
Maybe.
Yeah, that would explain a lot, actually.
Yeah.
So, Packlet threat defeated.
They just forget about them completely.
Yeah, they basically just turn around and warp 9 out of there.
Oh, I like the one shot, though, beaming Geordi off the Packlet ship and onto the bridge all in one pass.
Somebody at the special effects department has patted themselves on the back for that one.
And they should. It was cool.
Yeah. For the time, yeah.
So yeah. Picard wakes up in Planet Hospital, only to see the smugly smirking face of Dr. Pulaski.
And he thinks he's died and gone to hell.
And Picard's response basically is, "You bitch.
You should have let me die.
Let me wake up and see you." Why the hell are you here? Oh, wait, if you're here... Oh, shit.
You should have let me die.
Now, the only way it could have been worse for Picard is if Wesley was there with her.
Oh, God! Let Wesley into the doctor's... the operating room, I ask, when who would let Wesley onto the bridge?
Well, theoretically, there would be competent people in charge of that medical complex. Although, since they had to call Pulaski in to fix their fuck-up, maybe not.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if, like, Wesley was dressed up in the same surgical gown, and he was there with gloves and holding a razor, saying, "I helped."
And smiling.
So, back in the bridge, the crew claps as Picard storms on set.
And promptly just tapers off.
As he glares at them.
What the hell is this shit?
Clearly saying, "I'm going to phaser each and every one of you in your sleep if you don't stop right now." And then he makes a lame joke.
I think phasering them in their sleep is much more humane than that look implies.
Yeah.
Go get a kitchen knife.
And then presumably they fly off to go look at the pulsar cluster, which would have been amazing to see, but I guess they wouldn't have the budget to show us.
There's a joke I've been wanting to make the whole episode and never had a chance to, so I'm just going to do it now.
Okay.
Ahab got to go get his heart.
Okay.
I don't think that quite works because he didn't really want to go get it. He was being made to go get it.
Yeah.
He's like, "I'd rather die with faulty equipment."
Then maybe I'll you like shouldn't have gotten a faulty one to begin with. Shut up, Wesley.
They carts went into bargain hunt, found one that was, you know, slightly irregular. It was a return from Amazon.
A secondhand heart implant.
He gets all of his metal equipment used. Dentures.
Morphin brace sitting next to it for whatever reason.
Not even a morphin brace, it was the custom visor, right. Which is even stupider.
I like this episode.
Yeah.
It's not a good episode, especially now that we've analyzed and seen the faults, but...
But it's an entertaining one.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what really matters.
It might not be entertaining for the right reasons.
Well, neither was Planet matter? Africa.
Planet Africa wasn't even entertaining in it.
Okay, look, for Ken. Wrong reasons. Ken, I know you and Fort Max have not invested as much of your lives into Star Trek as me and Mickey have. When right. you have spent 25 years watching these episodes over and over again, and probably more in Mickey's case, you know, you have to keep looking for new ways to get your enjoyment out of them.
Yeah, I guess so.
And eventually that comes down to just, like, dissecting it for, these are really awful people, and it's kind of great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the psychology of this. This is why we can hold Planet Africa and Samaritan Snare in this, like, high regard that they don't really deserve by any conventional means.
The fun isn't so much from the episode. The fun is from what we're doing with it.
Yeah.
Finding ways to make shit into gold.
Which that's is the intellectual we're going to Star Trek V in a couple weeks. I'm very much looking forward to the Star Trek V episode. It'll take a while, but it'll be worth it. Also, it's a week we won't be doing a Voyager episode.
Yeah, okay, so, Ken. Which episode is better? Samaritan Snare? Or the episode of Enterprise we watched?
Okay, at least the characters in here are at least remotely interesting.
And the pacing?
Well, there's a lot of filler, but yeah.
See, and that's the difference between entertaining and boring.
True. I just kind of.
That's a very good example, Mickey.
It's like I watched this and I didn't fall asleep during it.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems like a backhanded compliment, but.
Well, it kind of is a backhanded compliment, but it's still a compliment because. I mean, the Enterprise episode. There's nothing really objectively wrong with it, aside from some, you know, technical thing about pacing, but I mean, it does what it does fairly competently. It's just really boring. It's uninteresting.
Like, there is absolutely a difference in, like, just approach to the storytelling between Enterprise and Next Generation, because it's the difference between a, you know, 20 years time passing between the productions. And also, like, network oversight versus studio oversight only.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot different. I can enjoy Enterprise more than most people, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, Next Generation's always going to be a completely different thing from that.
Now, when did Star Trek become network show?
With Voyager.
Voyager. Yeah.
UPN.
Yeah, that's going to make that network take off.
That and well, the Secret Files of Desmond Pfeiffer. And Shasta McNasty.
Yeah, see, here's the thing, is that I'm just watching in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you wouldn't have known that there was a difference between with stuff that there was or difference because Next Generation was on the same station as Deep Space Nine and Voyager and Enterprise, so
all my Star Trek was all on different stations. None of them were the same. I think the Next Generation was on what was at the time a local Fox affiliate, and like DS9 came on like midnight Saturday nights on on the CBS affiliate.
So I think around here we had Deep Space Nine on the Fox station at like 9 p.m. on a weekend, which was kind of bad during baseball season because there were generally preemptions, and then it was like, well, catch it next Sunday.
Yeah, well, I think like the new episodes aired at like that awful midnight slot, and then like after a few seasons, they were airing repeats on like Sunday mornings.
Yeah, let's see here. If I'm remembering what I've seen correctly, it's that I think that here they just had Next Generation, then they would air Deep Space Nine right after it.
I mean, you know, if it's all in one, why not?
Yeah, and it was all on the UPN station here. Or what would be.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Next Generation was on when I lived around Chicago, and I don't remember what channel that was on then, but I'm pretty sure it and Deep Space Nine were on different stations.
And then the Star Trek, then the original series remaster aired on the former UPN station for the first week, and then it moved to another station after that.
It was on the UPN channel here.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it ever even aired here.
Hmm.
It's Atlanta, so that wouldn't surprise me.
Syndication's weird.
Atlanta and networks are really weird. They used to be really weird. I had Fox Kids on the WB channel.
We did for a while too.
And then Fox Kids got shunted off to itself, to just a local affiliate that had nothing except repeats of TNG actually, and
because what it was
and Fox Kids. Those were the only claims to fame it had. It had TNG, and then it had Fox Kids.
Oh, here after. When WB started up their own Fox stopped having Fox went ahead and moved Fox Kids to a independent station that was owned by Fox.
That didn't happen to me for years. So, and actually Fox Kids got the top billing because it got the Saturday morning slot for years. Then it randomly shifted to Sundays. And then randomly one week it changed, and then it was on another network, and then randomly that just became that station got bought up by a Spanish company, and then they only aired Spanish stuff, and then they just no more Fox Kids.
So Ken,
yes,
I understand you won't be here with us next week.
We have established this.
I know, it's just a lead-in. So, next week on that one episode of Star Trek, we're going to be talking Deep Space Nine, of course, because, you know, we're doing the cycle. And so, we'll be doing In the Pale Moonlight, which is quite possibly the single best episode of Deep Space Nine from the entire run.
And arguably the best episode of Star Trek.
Yes, it is. How about that?
And since Ken won't be here to talk about that with us, unfortunately...
because you're an asshole.
We will be having Brian Kilby and Chris Triplett come on, who I'm sure will have all kinds of positive things to say about it and just be alarmed when we start taking the shit out of it.
It's going to be so fun.
Yeah.
On second thought...
I can't wait to wing us at them for them.
Okay, on second thought, maybe it's a good thing I'm not here. Maybe you're doing me a favor.
Oh, I can't wing us this episode for anybody because I like it too much. Now, Mickey,
well,
if
I can ruin somebody's perception of it, I'll gladly do that.
Do that.
I can say all kinds of things without meaning them.
That would make it worth it to me. Not do it.
Kilby was so excited too when he found out we did episodes of the animated series. He kept asking me if we did Infinite Vulcan, and I wouldn't tell him if we had or not. Because, you know, the episode was really delayed last week because I had problems.
You had to poop, didn't you?
Multiple times, actually, over the course of the week.
That's rough, man.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully, this week's episode will go a little bit quicker. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to doing In the Pale Moonlight next week. That should be a good time. But I'm really looking forward to doing Star Trek V, because that sounds like it'll be a lot of fun, too.
Oh, it certainly will.
Yeah. Ken, you should try to be back for that.
I may. Not entirely sure.
If nothing else, you should watch it and listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I probably will. I just don't want to say a definite.
Even if you don't like listen to the podcast, you should just watch the movie anyway, because everybody should watch that movie.
Star Trek V, God.
Like, it's in my top three favorite movies now, I think.
I've seen it.
See it again. There's always something new to discover in that movie.
It's like Wrath of Khan, then Voyage Home, and then Final Frontier.
God.
Are your top three?
Yeah.
That's a pretty decent list.
You sound disappointed.
In terms of favorite Star Trek movies, I think I'd still put Undiscovered Country.
No, I mean, you sounded like you were disappointed while you were saying that's a pretty decent list.
It's like, I'm not judging you, but I'm judging you.
Or like,
I thought that went without saying anyway.
I wanted to be able to disagree with this more.
Yeah.
I want to fight you on something.
I mean, I could anyway.
You can't disagree with me on my opinions.
Because your opinions are objectively correct.
That is true. I might have incorrect facts, but I never have incorrect opinions.
Hey, Mickey, 2015.
Even if those opinions are informed by incorrect facts.
Well, I think that'll do it for the show this week.
Yay!
Man, Tom Max gives a high pitch yay too.
Yay!
No, I said high, not low. There we go.
God.
Right, but when Fort Max goes to that pitch, it just loses all like intelligibility. I mean,
you can't even tell what I say when I tell them to do it.
You can't even tell what the sound is supposed to be. It's just like, you know, a tone generator at that point.
Well, maybe Fort Max has perfect pitch.
Maybe.
Sing for us, Fort Max.
No.
Sing us the opera song from Fifth Element.
What is it, your playlist?
Fort Max Pod. Fort
Max Pod. When are they going to come out with a Fort Max phone?
We just set you to random.
Which means we kick you in the junk.
No, setting Fort Max to random is just like, you know, spin until Fort Max gets dizzy.
I don't disapprove of this.
That actually sounds kind of fun. I might do that myself.
Like, maybe get like an office chair too, and use that to make it a little bit easier.
That does sound cheaper than drinking.
Yeah. And at least for the first few seconds, being spun around in the chair would probably be fun.
My cat seems to like it.
That's a cat, though. I mean,
he's just lulling you into a full sense of security and make you think he likes it.
Just like Fort Max.
Yeah, it's going to lie on its back, and then that's what you call a bear trap.
Yep.
Just like Fort Max.
I don't think I'm going to rub Fort Max's stomach.
Aww. My cunning plan foiled.
You were hoisted by your own petard.
Now what am I going to do with all these clawed gloves?